Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Alan Gray, helping you secure your future. 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. It is 6:37 right here on Kaya Biz, and we're turning our attention to that very statement that I made a little bit earlier on. It is a very difficult time for many South Africans. We've spoken about that at length, and we don't need to belabor that point any further. But we know that the current demands on our pocket are in some ways threatening the demands on our future pockets and for our future selves. The reason that we put away sort of 12 to 30% or 20% for some of our retirement savings is to make sure that we have money put aside for the future. Now, the retirement industry's research indicates that the average South African retiree can replace around 30% of their monthly income when they reach retirement. That's a third of your current income. Imagine if you didn't have two-thirds of your money, but you still had the same costs. Most income earners face the very real risk of outliving their retirement nest egg, particularly with so much science and medicine helping us live so much longer and more broad lives. Manager in the institutional clients team at Alan Gray, Horatia Naidu McCarthy, is joining us this evening to discuss the actions you can take now to try to achieve a sustainable income in your retirement. Horatia, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a delight.
Tell me, is it possible? Because I think for many South Africans, we're like, look, I'm gonna pull from my two pot, or I'm not going to contribute as much to my pension, even though that happens to be tax exempt. And the power of compounding is undisputed. Is it possible, in your view, for a South African to actually live off a third of their income, let's say, 20 years into the future?
I mean, you know, you put a wonderful question out there, because I think, you know, there's two things to consider. So let's tackle the first part, you know, which is, can we survive on a third of our income? If you think about how many South Africans are under a tremendous amount of pressure. We have these rising costs, and they cost for basic needs, you know, electricity, water, food, even necessities like coffee. You see them all increasing. And the reality is that a lot of us can barely survive on the full amount, let alone a third. And can you just imagine inflation 20 years from now, what that's going to look like?
Right.
So from that perspective, it's very difficult to see us surviving on a third. And I think a lot of us operate on the assumption that because we're putting money aside, that we will retire with a comfortable nest egg far into the future. And so it's a kind of onerous thing that we don't really want to think about. And it's a scary reality that more than 90% of South Africans actually do not have enough to have a dignified retirement and have to be reliant on loved ones and potentially have to find themselves
in such
retirement.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that gets forgotten in all the stories we speak about in terms of current economic struggle. You know, I'm going to come back to this discussion, but if I can just tell you anecdotally, I used to, in my broadcasting life, sort of cover a very large elderly population. And the kind of anecdotal feedback that you get, particularly during COVID, about the choices the elderly have to make. So they'll phone into the show and say, you know, I am no longer eating protein. You know, but at a very fragile time
it's
of life.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. I'm selling the ring that my late husband gave me 60 years ago. And you get the predatory market that says, sell us your old jewelry and we'll melt it down to gold. And they know very well who those people are. So I think for us to consider that kind of lifestyle and know that you can't always rely on family, you can't always rely on the hope that, oh, I'll get a job and, you know, I'm getting to the age where companies are like, you're a little on the old side, madam. You know, so I wanted to set the scene there before we move a little bit further, because I think for many of us, we think it's very far away. And actually it's not. So how much money would one need for a comfortable retirement, Horatia?
So So we can look at it in two ways. The first way is we actually need more than 75% of our income to be replaced and essentially to be for retirement savings. So most South Africans have about a third. We actually need more than 75%. Another way of looking at it is from day one of you starting work, assuming you start in your 20s, you actually need to be putting away between 12 and 17%. I think you mentioned as, you know, as high as 20% of it if you're able to. And yes. And putting money away is one thing. As you know, covering, you know, finance industry, putting money away is not enough. You have to put money away and ensure that you're investing it in a product that is also going to ensure that you have growth, so that your growth is greater than inflation and can actually provide for, as you say, a dignified retirement. Because what you're talking about is, like, you know, the injustices that come with you having to make these sorts of sacrifices, selling jewelry and not eating protein. And no one wants to be, and you rightly mentioned the advances in medicine means that we're actually living for longer. So you may not have to provide for 20 years, you may very well have to provide for 30.
I mean, and we're all very happy about living longer, but for goodness sake, it's expensive enough now, so we need to be very careful. Harish, if I could go back to my 20s, I would do things so differently. You know, you think you're going to live forever, work forever, everything goes up, but so do costs. So why do you say that it's not necessarily just a box-ticking exercise? What do I need to do to be able to beat inflation? I believe sort of CPI plus 5 is seen as reasonable, but... what would you say from an allegory perspective?
So I think for us, it's important to, you know, consider what are our goals. So in the spirit of matric exams being written, I would say the three things that you need to do is the three A's. The first thing, an annual review. You need to annually review what your projections are, what your retirement looks like. And that leads me to my next A. The next A is, be careful that you aren't anchoring to a default that may be too low. So perhaps you have an employer pension fund that you're a part of and you've been contributing the same amount year in and year out. And actually, that is not going to give you the kind of nest egg that you need in the future. And then it leads into the next A, which is additional contributions. So yes, it's important to contribute to your, you know, pension and pension fund or retirement scheme.
Yes.
But it's also important for you to think, do I need a retirement annuity? Do I need something like a tax-free investment or an offshore endowment which has tax benefits so that I can really augment this nest egg? So that's the first stage, so the three A's. The second thing you need to do when you're thinking about your investments over the long term and the factors that will help you to reach those goals and things that may also shift the goals, and it goes on from our conversation about living longer, so living longer is one of them. You know, the consideration that I may live longer and do I have enough money to ensure that I'm probably taken care of in my retirement. Another one is market volatility. So I think we all get very uncomfortable when the market is up, it's down, it's everywhere. And it's very tempting for us to kind of flip-flop. And it's important that we're mindful of this noise, but at the same time, we're not trying to time this market. It's about time in the market.
Correct.
And at the same time, you need to, together with your financial advisor, think about, I'm in my 20s and 30s, and I can take on a little bit more risk because I need to be invested in a diversified portfolio, equities, bonds, cash. While it may feel safer to put everything in cash, the reality, and this leads to my next point, is to be mindful of inflation.
Yes.
Things keep going up. The 100 grand that you spent 20, 30 years ago is not buying you the kinds of things that you need in the present day.
At all.
So, you know, the other thing is lifestyle creep. We see it happening. Influencing makes a huge impact in our lives. And so we earn more money and we spend more money. More money on cars and houses and clothes. And what happens is this lifestyle creep means it takes more of our discretionary income and we're not upping our contributions. So when we get to retirement, there's a huge discrepancy, huge gap between, you know, what our lifestyle has become and what our nest egg can provide for. And then the last one is circumstances. You might find yourself needing more money for medical expenses or even supporting loved ones or having financial dependence. And so those are some of the things you really need to consider. So the key factors that you need to consider when you're thinking about your retirement and those goals over the long term.
These are all questions I think are very valid for us to ask ourselves, but very difficult for the average person to answer for themselves.
Absolutely.
So particularly just starting with the three A's, that annual review, that point that you were making about
anchoring.
If you happen to be an anchoring. So let's just say I'm in a corporate retirement fund that has an average age, a company that has an average age much higher than mine. I might be getting invested into a pension fund that is not risky enough, not aggressive mm-hmm. enough for the growth if I've got mm-hmm. more years. And of course, then might want to think about that additional contribution where I can take on a little bit more risk. Then there's also, you know, Horatia, I might be driving home right now listening to you and being like, oh, I'm almost 50. I have like 15 years left to retirement and 60 years left of life. And I feel like it's too late. What do I do then? And I feel as though that needs a professional input.
Yes, absolutely. It's so important for you to work very closely with your financial advisor, and don't let it be something that someone else is taking care of. This is your future. It's important for you to spend the time to get involved and to question, do I have enough? Do I have contingencies in place? As you mentioned, am I taking on enough risk in my portfolio?
Yes.
Am I not taking enough? You know, am I taking too much risk in my portfolio? Because as you get closer to retirement, you want more liquidity.
Correct.
And I think another thing that's really been brought into the limelight this year, and people, I think, are talking about retirement a lot more because we had Tupot. That
yes.
was huge. You know, it was a pivotal kind of turning point in terms of, you know, the way we think about retirement funds. And, you know, to give you a flavor of the benefits of Tupot, I mean, I don't need to go through too much of the detail, but
please.
It's focusing on preservation.
Yes.
So preservation into the long term, but also being cognizant that the average South African has gone through a really hard time and they need an access point for emergencies.
Yeah.
But I will say, just because you have the option does not mean you have to take it. But just because you can doesn't mean you have to. And a lot of people are tapping into the savings pot, you can get this annual withdrawal.
Yes.
And the impact that it has on those long-term savings can be quite detrimental. So, you know, some of the things, so before I unpack and the impact it can have on your savings, it's important that you stick to a budget.
Yes.
It's important that you try to manage your debt. And the third is, it's important that you don't get tempted into withdrawing from retirement savings.
Correct.
Because with the power of compounding, it can be so detrimental to your retirement nest egg.
Yeah.
And so that brings me to the two-part discussion. We did a little exercise over 20 years, 2004 to 2024. Let's visualize, you know, you're putting in 6,000 rand in the Allenby Balance Fund, for example, over the 20-year period. If you access a once-a-year withdrawal from the savings pot, for example, you will accumulate 3 million rand at the end of that 20-year period. But if you don't touch any of your withdrawals over the 20-year period, you accumulate 4.5 million rand at the end of the 20 years.
Critical.
That's a huge, huge discrepancy. And it shows the value of really not touching it unless there are dire emergencies.
Yeah.
Keeping that money in and letting it grow and compound.
Agreed. I'm just thinking of a year like this one where we've had such excellent returns in the markets. I would leave that to compound. You never know if next year is going to be a down year or a 3% year. But also, I think many of us like to convince ourselves that, no, I'm going to take the money out and invest it in a better place. I'll buy a house or whatever. But very often when we're taking something under duress and out of a bit of desperation, actually we've got, the second you see the money in your account, you're like, actually, I still needed to pay that bill and I still wanted to go to that thing. And so the discipline kind of, allow the government to help you with that discipline and your financial advisor to do so.
Absolutely. And be mindful of the tax implications. You know,
correct.
You're tapping into the savings pot, but you're paying it's taxed at marginal tax rate. And if you have any penalties, they're also taking their piece out of that savings that you... So you're coming out with a lot less than you think you're coming out with, and you're eroding this long-term nest egg that you're putting forward for your future.
100%. Horatia, insightful and enlightening. Thank you so much. Horatia Naidoo-McCarthy is a manager in the institutional clients team at Allan Gray, helping us understand exactly how best to avoid becoming one of the South African averages, which is having to survive on 30% replacement of your monthly income at the retirement age and trying to get yourself towards that minimum 75% with the excellent advice that she's given us. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.